Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Kind Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of seeing that dear fellow in Delta come to know Christ, and then to get to meet with Don, the man that we introduced to Christ on the phone over a year ago, and to see the smile on his face, see him sober. Oh, precious Lord, I just thank you for every opportunity that we get to tell people about Christ. Father, I just pray tonight for all of my really listening family. Lord, we're living in troubled times. If we just read the newspaper and listen to the news, people are hurting all over the world, not just in America. And dear Lord, I pray that this little broadcast will help ease some of the pain, that we'll be able to answer some questions that otherwise will be unanswerable. And Father, we're not here to make a mark or make a place in society. All we want to do is be Jesus' messenger boy. God, hide me behind the cross. May this wonderful Jesus be lifted up, and may souls be saved tonight. And we'll praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 2 Timothy and with the 3rd chapter, and let's begin reading with the first verse. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust. I'm sure that many of you do not know that, oh, I guess it was 16 years ago when I was in Nyack, New York, going to Christian Broadcasters Radio School. And when I was there, as you probably know, since quite some time ago, there's been much said about our radio and television evangelist, especially the ones that have been on television. We were warned back there 17 years ago by the head of National Religious Broadcasters that if these electronic television evangelists didn't get off in their begging situation, that wouldn't be sooner or later that the FCC would put a stop to it, and all broadcasting and all television would be, preachers would be off the air. Friends, that could yet happen today. You read the paper, you've watched on television, you've seen with your mouth hanging open the things that has been done, as I said last Sunday night, under the auspices of Christianity. Some of you dear people love those men, and you would probably chop off your foot for them because you love them that much. But what would you do with Jesus, who truly gave his life as a ransom for your sins and mine? What will we do with Jesus? Now, as you know, Billy Graham will be coming here in July for a crusade. Everywhere I go, every city that I've gone to lately, oh, they're getting together their great counseling thing to get ready for this crusade, which I'm thrilled to death about, but one thing has bothered me to no end. Why, oh why, Christian friend of mine, have you waited so long to see that there's such a tremendous need? for soul winning, for counseling. Why have we waited so long? Why haven't we been doing this since the day we were saved? Folks, listen. This lay team and I have traveled over 17 different churches in the past 5 years. We have a stack of letters commending the group for coming to their church without a charge, come out there and go out and help them mark their Bibles, then take them by the hand and go out in the field and show them that soul winning is something that is supposed to be done by every Christian in this world, not just preachers. Most of the preachers I know are not soul winners, believe it or not. Well, maybe that's where it should be. I'm not saying it isn't. I know the Bible said that they should spend more time studying God's Word, but if they have the layman in the church, then why don't they put them to work? Are they afraid that they're going to lose control of these laymen if they get out of the local, quote-unquote, church? Is that what the problem is? Back in the early church, they met in synagogues, they met in the church in the homes. But no, my dear friends, we have to have these great, huge, multi-million-dollar plants. We have to have these $300,000 organs. We have to have a television equipment in these big churches that cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, while men and women still go to hell. What is going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. Satan is doing a good sell job on us, friends. He's got you believing that you're stupid. He's got you believing that God did actually make junk when he made you. You're getting low on your self-esteem, and so you say, well, I can't do anything. Beloved, listen to me. God is still calling men, he is still calling women, to go out and take this wonderful message of hope to a lost and dying world. But the problem is, many are called, but few are chosen, because they don't get encouragement from those peers that's ahead of us. Those who are over us do not encourage these laymen and people that they have the talent to go out and do it. They think because they've had 4 years in college and 4 years in seminary, that makes them authority on the Word of God. Beloved, my Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher that the world has ever known. He said that he would lead us. He said he would guide us. Now, when you go to, I went to Bible college, and you know, I didn't go to seminary. I went to Bible college, and all I was sat there and listened to my professor, who was telling me what his professor told him, who told him what his professor told him, instead of letting the Holy Spirit tell him. Nowadays, dear friends, if you don't, we spend so much time spinning the wheels, we spend so much time on paperwork that we never have time to win the lost. This last 3 months, friends, I've had greater opportunity. You know why? I made a decision. Cecil Moe, you can sit on the pity pot, you can do this and you do that, but if you'd want to do something, get out and serve Jesus and go out in the highways and the byways and the homes. And that's where 60% of the people are saved anyway, in the homes. Now, when they're saved, it would be nice to bring them to a church where they would hear from a godly, Holy Spirit-filled Sunday school teacher what God wanted for their lives. The Lord did not call you just to go to church. The Lord called you and saved you to serve. We are saved to serve. Otherwise, it'd be no reason why God would leave us on this earth in the first place. She might as well knock us in the head and take us home. So many people have let the world, let our laymen know that laymen do not have enough sense to go out and introduce the soul to Christ. And I'll take them to task on that. Because I've operated with laymen for these last 7-8 years. That's one of the callings that God has given me, to encourage the laymen to help shepherd them and help disciple them that they might be. Listen, these soul winners, laymen that we have, probably have forgotten more than Cecil Moe will ever know. And when they get up and speak, my heart just bubbles inside as I see how God has raised them up to be just what God wants them to be, speakers for Jesus. And they don't have to get up and preach. They just get up and tell. I've got one particular friend, old Elliot. Bless his pointed head. Let me tell you about Elliot. Elliot was brought up in a church, and he knew the phraseologies. He knew the terminologies. He went to church and Sunday school since he was a little fella. Mama took him. Daddy took him there. And then one day, the Holy Spirit made him realize that he was lost. So he accepted Christ, but he didn't grow very much, you see, until he got into high school. And then he began to see what the Lord wanted for his life. To hear him give his testimony just makes my heart bubble inside. Because here's a man that didn't go out and live like a stupid moron like I did or like some of these other guys. But he still needed Jesus. Black friend of mine, listen to me. Maybe in the South you have to bow down to the white. But I got news for you. When you get saved, you have to meet the same place that the white man or the Hispanic or the Greek or the Jew. If you're rich, you have to bow on your knees the same as that poor old guy in Skid Row. God is no respecter of persons. But he's still looking and he's still calling for men and women to get out and get busy for the Master. Now, you have been seeing these things on television as well as I have, and I want you to know this has set Christianity back 1,000 years. These men who claim to be great men of God, who are nothing less than con men, but people don't know it. They think because they say Jesus and put a smile on their face and shed a tear, that means that they're Christian, that they've been born again. Oh, beloved, don't you believe that? Satan has just as many preachers out today as God Almighty. And I think probably many of them are better, much better preachers than we are who know Jesus and have called of God. Because Satan has always got to have something just a tad better. And don't you think for 5 minutes that they're not performing miracles in this later day? And don't you think that they're not doing things just like trickery, sorcery, whatever you want to call it? But they're doing it. And people are paying for it, and the lost are sitting back and saying, I don't understand it. What is going on? Is there a division in Christianity? No, there's not a division in Christianity. There's a division between the devil and God's people. That's where the division is, and continue to be a division. You can't walk with the devil and walk with God and expect the blessings of God upon your life, because it just doesn't happen. You must decide with whom you will serve. Well, what are we going to do now? Are we going to let this get us down? Are we going to go about and say, Lord, wait a minute. Instead of me trusting those preachers, why don't we start trusting the Lord? Why don't we start following the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives? And let's get out here and get busy about the Father's business. I've said this before, and I did not get one response. I said, I have about 8 laymen that are qualified to teach any other layman or any other preacher who's not a soul winner. We would be willing to come to your church as long as you're preaching the gospel. We'd be willing to come to your church. We'd be willing to spend 3 days with you without charge. To help you, to encourage you, not to tell you how to preach, not to tell you how to run the Lord's business, but to show you that soul winning is right and it's not as hard as Satan has painted a picture of. Hey, Satan's not going to encourage you to be a soul winner. Satan is not going to give you holy boldness to go out and knock on doors. Only the Holy Spirit of God will give you a holy boldness. And I think that everyone should ask every morning for a holy boldness and pray that God would give us souls for our hire. A dear brother of mine, a brother in Christ, said to me not too long ago, I was going to try to make a lot of money and then serve the Lord. Well, I'll tell you, his business struggled and struggled. And one day he said, hey, fooey, without making a lot of money, I'm going to serve the Lord. And now his business is really booming. And I believe that, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. That is important. Don't put the Lord second in command. Put him number one. Don't put your family ahead of Christ. Don't put your business ahead of Christ. Put Christ the head of your life. Let him call the shots in your life. It is not God's will that people should perish, but that all should be saved. And he doesn't have any angels that can come and tell people how to be saved, because they're created beings. He's left that responsibility up to you and I. Now, I know a lot of missionaries, good people, dedicated people. But you see, they were soul winners here before they got worrying about the natives down in the Philippines or down in New Guinea or in Africa or Tokyo or wherever. You see, you've got to do it here before God will call you somewhere else. Beloved, listen. Hear me carefully. The Lord will give you the tools for the trade. You know, when I first started becoming a signing applicator, I had to have a sharp hatchet. I had to have a knife. I had to have a good Miller Falls plane. And I used to have a tape, a ruler, for my story pole, and that's all the tools I needed. Now, if someone had given me a ball peen hammer, and someone had gave me a monkey wrench, and a socket set, I could not put on siding, because there's special tools for special jobs. But God himself will equip you with the tools that you need if you are willing to surrender your life and your will unto God. You say, well, Cecil, you know, I'm just not called. Well, I'd check up, my friend, but maybe you're getting a call and you're tuned in on television, or you tuned in on a good football game and you can't hear his voice. Friends, when God speaks to your heart, when God speaks to you in his words, in his voice, I will assure you, you'll know that it is of God. As I said last Sunday, and I'll say it again, when people tell me God has told him to make people give money to him, he is calling God an extortioner. And then when he gets up and says he got an extension of time, he's calling God a liar. And then after he got the money, then he had to say, go on and say, God said, get some more. He's calling God a liar again. Friends, if you believe that, boy, you're so easy. I'd like to sell you some property in the swamp lands. I really would. Surely you people who believe that are not following his word. You're not looking into the word. You're not asking the Holy Spirit. You know what? I agree with you. When you love somebody, it's pretty hard to see their faults. And I agree with you. I have the same problem. Brother Tom Baird, he never did everything perfect or everything right. There was things he did that I didn't necessarily agree with him, but I loved him in Christ. But if he'd have done something totally against the Word of God, I would never have followed him. Friends, and if you show me, and you need to think about this, the Bible did not call preachers to beg money. He called preachers to preach the gospel. Now, you show it to me. I need to find that. If I've missed it, then I need to apologize. But I have never found where God had called his servants to be beggars. Now, Peter and them, silver and gold have I none. You remember him? And he took the guy by the hand and he said, rise and walk in the name of Jesus. And Jesus told him to go without the second coat, without this and that, and to go out and to preach the gospel. To go to a house where they'd receive him, otherwise shake the dust off a cloth and go off the coat and go somewhere else. Now that is Jesus, the Son of God, telling us this, folks. This is not a man. I don't want any of my listeners to follow Cecil Moe. I don't have a church that I am trying to fill up. I have a Savior I'm trying to lift up. I do not have a denomination that I'm lifting up or I'm praising or saying, well, they're the only true gospel preachers in the world, which is a lie out of hell. I know some good Presbyterians that preach the gospel that would make the hair on your head stand. And I know an evangelical Methodist, the one of the best preachers I ever heard, evangelical Lutheran, and on and on and on. But these people are telling men and women how to be saved. They're not up there telling them how to get, how to join their church or whatever. The scriptures are plain on how you're to join a church and what you're to do by the baptism. The scriptures are all there if you're willing to follow him. Friends, in this last day, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're the only true gospel preachers. Covetous, boasters. Man, we send more missionaries out than anybody in the whole world. We're giving more money to the poor. We're baptizing more people than any other denomination in the world. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And this being disobedient to parents, all you have to do is go down to children's court and go to some of these judges and see what's going on there. Without natural affections, truce-breakers, false accusers, fierce despisers, those that are good, truce-breakers, liars, cheats, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power there from such turn away. Oh, this form of godliness. The Mormons right now are putting out literature that if you don't be careful, you'd think that they really believed about Jesus. But if you start studying up pretty long, you'll find out they don't believe in Jesus. And they're going to believe that they're going to be like gods and on and on and on. And then you go to the JWs. They'll tell you things. But friends, when you take the Bible and you compare it, you're going to be shocked. Because you're going to find out that these people are liars out of hell. And I don't care whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. And the scripture said that there are going to be false prophets going about and even doing miracles and wonders and saying they've done this and that. And Jesus said, "Begone, ye cursed workers of iniquity. I never, ever knew you." Well, we can go on and on and on. But, beloved, it's time the Christian people wake up. Now, you know, the state of Virginia, as you know, and I've said it before, the state of Virginia is a Bible belt of the world. Why, that was almost a dry state. Coors beer goes down there, and our brothers and sisters in Christ sat back and bought this program that there would be lots of employment right up here. Anheuser-Busch put this big brewery up there, and they told those people, "We're going to give you all kinds of jobs." You know who's going to get the jobs? The undertakers and the doctors. But we as Christians are sitting back and we're not standing up. We're not making it known what we believe. Have you read the newspaper lately? Do you see the letters that people are criticizing those of us who are trying to serve the Lord in such a way, and they're not even close to truth? And we just sit back and smile and chuckle and say, "Well, I wish they wouldn't do that. I wish they wouldn't either do it," but they're doing it. Now, friends, I'm asking tonight, I'm asking every one of you who listened, whether you like me or not, that's not the important thing. I'm asking everyone who listened tonight, are you really doing all that you can do for Jesus? Do you feel that your life is exactly where it ought to be? Have you tried to introduce a soul to Christ this month? Have you even tried to witness for Christ this year? 1987, have you even tried? You say, "Cecil, I wished I had the courage." You can have the courage if you'll ask the Father. He'll give you the tools. If you'd like to talk to some of our laymen, if you'd like to sometime go on one of our team meetings for 3 days, you can get your eyes open. And you'll find what I'm telling you is true. You too, if you're saved by the precious blood, you too can be a soul winner for Christ. And I know this last 2 or 3 years, that's all I've been yakking about. That's because people are dying and on the road to hell. Between the time now, today, and the time that Billy Graham comes here in July, probably 20,000 to 30,000 people will die and go to hell. You say, you mean you don't like Billy Graham? I love Billy Graham. And he's coming here because God brought him here. But if you gotta wait till July, something's been wrong with your walk with Jesus. If you're not trying, if you haven't been trying to find out how that you could win a soul to Christ, then there's something wrong. Do you know Jesus? Have you been born again? Have you trusted Him as your personal Savior? Is Christ number one in your life? Is He the Lord of your life? I hope He is. If He isn't, dear friend, I think, especially if you don't know Jesus, wouldn't you like to bow your head and say right now, Lord, I've been going to church. I've been doing everything that this Elliot boy did, but I'm not saved. I want to be saved. Bow your head and say, dear Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I didn't think I was, but I know I am now. Lord, forgive my sins. Come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. Then get on the phone. Call 795-1340. 795-1340. Tell me about it, will you? If I can help you, I'm concerned will you spend eternity. Christian friend of mine, I tell you that we're living in the last days. I would suggest you find out where your part is in this life. That's the only reason God left you live, or me live, is to serve the Lord. You know, He could raise up rocks to praise Him. He even had a jackass straighten out a preacher one time. Jackasses can preach too, you know. Well, friend, I am concerned. I matter to devil. I matter to devil's crowd. They're liars, they're cheats, they're crooks, they're con men, they're two-bit operators. But when they stand before the white throne, they'll be cast in the darkness, and then they won't have to worry no more, will they? Outside of being in torment day and night, forever and ever. 795-1340. If I could help you, please call.